Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 is our memory verse for this month. Let's say it together, please, class. Colossians 3, 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. One more time, please. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Colossians 3:17. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity and privilege to open Your Word this morning to study it. I pray, dear Lord, now that You would just take over the service and that the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, would have free reign among us all, even with me, dear Lord. Use me as Your vessel, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So study Colossians 3:17. Within a couple weeks, we'll be saying it without the Bible. This morning, we're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to study this week, or this quarter, an interesting title, and I'll give it to you in just a moment. But today's lesson is the introductory title into the whole series. And so we have to get the introduction understood and understand where we're going before we can move further. But it says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is rather to be chosen. A good name. And then in Proverbs 10 and verse 7, the Word of God says, the memory of the just is blessed. But watch this. But the name of the wicked shall rot. The name of the wicked shall rot. And back in Proverbs 22, it said, a good name is rather being chosen than great riches. And then in Ecclesiastes 7:1, it says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. So we have a good name on one side that's better than great riches or better than precious ointment. And then we also see in Proverbs 10 that the name of the wicked is going to what, class?
Rot.
A good name or a name that's going to rot. That's not a hard choice in my opinion. But how do we get that good name? So first off today, I'd like to talk about what's in a name. What's in a name leading towards this series? A recent 10-year survey has been conducted by a very prestigious institution. They spent 10 years studying what's in a name. And they came up with some very interesting facts. Some of those facts, it says, mounting evidence that a name can influence everything from your school grades and career choice to who you marry and where you live. Your name can influence the assumptions that other people make about you and your character and your background. And thus, the chances are given in life. So if somebody assumes something about you because of your name, that sort of limits you or can exceed you and excel you into choices in your life. It can also be a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. If the name sounds intelligent, you will be successful. If your name sounds attractive, you're more likely to have higher self-esteem about yourself. There's even a Latin proverb about this phenomenon about names. It's nomen est omen. The name is a sign, or thy name is a sign. And some humorous examples of this phenomenon about names. The name Denise is more attributed to dermatologists. And the name Diane is more attributed to doctors. Thought that was interesting. But then you have a race car driver that's very on the circuit today, and his name is Scott Speed. Real names now. They have not changed their names to fit their occupation. And he's a race car driver named Scott Speed. A TV gardener on the television is named Bob Flowerdew. A singer named Bill Medley. A golfer we all know today, Tiger Woods. You know, the Woods is a golf club, a wood. A poet, William Wordsworth. I know there's a Wadsworth, but there's a William Wordsworth as well. A former White House spokesman named Larry Speaks. A lawyer, I love this one, a lawyer named Sue You. Love that. I want her to be my lawyer. A TV weather forecaster named Sarah Blizzard. They have not changed their names. These are their real names in this study. And a local librarian of this study was a Miss Story. So I guess that means that I should have been a banker or a loan shark. But at least we know who directs our paths. It's not our names. The Lord directs our paths if we allow Him to. Just some humorous things about names this morning. But in the Word of God, it says there is a name above every name. You know, what is in our name? What do people think about us when they hear our name? What is your testimony with your name? You know, I'm Brian Money. I'm a husband. What do people think of me as they hear my name as a husband? Or when my children call me daddy, what do they think of me as a father through my name? Through my 20 years in the medical field as a consultant, I was a consultant and I was introduced as a consultant. So what do people think of my name as Consultant Money or Consultant Brian Money? Or I've also been a professor. I've been a foreman. I've been a driver. I've been a coach. One day, hopefully, I'll be an author. I'm working on that. I've been a supervisor. What do people attribute to your name as titles? A Christian. What do people think about your name as a Christian? What type of person are you by your name? How do you treat people? How do you handle conflicts or problems or issues? What are your actions and reactions? Characteristics that define who you are attributed to your name. Patient, greedy, bitter, compassionate, caring, loving, angry. What do people think when they hear your name? Names in the Bible often have a very deep and far-reaching significance. We pass through the scriptures and we see these names and list of names. I love the genealogies in the Bible. And you look at these names, they're hard to pronounce, but their names mean something. And their names were given to them by their parents, knowing the meaning of these names. Places were named when Isaac or Israel or Jacob or Abraham were marching through the promised land and they go somewhere and they set up an altar. It would be named something, meaning something. It was a deep, significant meaning. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Is it any coincidence that's where the bread of life was born? Abraham, before his name was changed from Abram, meant father is exalted. And when God changed it to Abraham, it was father of the multitude. When Jacob was first Jacob, before his name was changed by God, it means the one that grasps the heel. Remember him coming out of the womb, grasping the heel? It also means cheater, or cheats. But then God changed his name to Israel, and it means God heals and God rules. Every name is significant in the Word of God, but there is one name that is above every name. Tells us in Philippians 2:9, there is one name, though, as the Bible states, is a name above every name. Amen. And that name is Jesus. Amen. What a name. How I love to say that name. But why Jesus? Why was he called Jesus? That's his earthly name. Why Jesus? Let's look at a few things here this morning. In Matthew, we'll begin with Matthew chapter number 1. This is, of course, the conception of Christ, the birth of Christ. We know that Joseph was not his father. Joseph was his stepfather. God was his father. Mary was a virgin. I don't care what anybody else's Bible says. My Bible does not say a young maiden. It says a virgin. And I believe that. If you cannot believe that Mary was a virgin, you can't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can't believe Jesus Christ's death on the cross was atonement, sacrifice for all mankind. She was a virgin. And it says in Matthew 1 and 21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." It's interesting to note that here in Matthew 1 and verse 21, the angel Gabriel was talking to whom? Who is he talking to in Matthew? He's talking to Joseph in the dream. He wakes him up. He says, "You're going to call your son Joseph," or Jesus. And then in Luke, we have the continuation of this story with a little more detail. In Luke 1 and verse 31, the Word of God says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive," who's he talking to? Who's Gabriel talking to here? Mary. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." So Gabriel gives the same message from God the Father to Gabriel, to Joseph, and to Mary. The same message. His name shall not be called anything but Jesus. Now, studying history and Jewish history, Jesus was a very ordinary, common name in the days of Judea and the birth of Christ. It was a common name, just like John today for us is a very common name among us here in the 21st century. The name had not the significance that we understand it of today. It was just a name, Jesus. Thank God, though, it has gathered so much beauty and fragrance about it that we dare never call our child Jesus. You know, the court battles, I believe it was in Tennessee just recently, someone was finally awarded they could call their son Messiah. Pray we never have anyone call their son Jesus. That is a special name now. It was a beautiful Jewish boy's name, though. A common name of the common people of Judea. But here's where we see God taking the commonplace and making it special. Just as He does today, He takes common things. We could look at common things through the Scripture, a staff or a hammer or a jawbone. We could look at common things through the Scripture where God made it special. He made this common name special. Jesus is a Greek form of the Hebrew word for Joshua. And Joshua means Savior. Other men have been born with that name through the Scriptures. Parents have given their names. Many a mother called their boy Jesus in the Old Testament in the hope that he would rise up to be a Savior and break the oppression and set the people free. What are you going to call your son? We're going to call him Joshua. It means Savior. Maybe, prayfully, God will allow him to be the one to come up and set us free. Now the angel has told Joseph and Mary from God to give this name to this boy. To this little boy, you're going to call him Jesus. And what does it mean? Savior. He's not going to set the people free from their oppression and be ruled as a king yet. It says in Matthew 1:21, "Ye shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He's not here to be our Savior from oppression, as of the Old Testament thoughts. He is called Jesus to be our Savior for our sins, and then one day free us from all oppression. Jesus also means Jehovah's salvation. So this next quarter, we're going to be looking at the titles of Christ and how those titles characterize His ministry and His self. The Lily of the Valley. Why is Jesus called the Lily of the Valley? Why is He called the Bright and Morning Star? Why is He the Chief Cornerstone? Why is He the Wonderful and Counselor? Why is He the Great High Priest? We're going to look at those titles. The Rose of Sharon. Why is He called those titles? They characterize His name. They speak volumes about who Jesus is and what His ministry is. So today in this introductory message, Jesus, a name that is assessed by mankind. Mankind looks at this name Jesus and they have to make decisions about what they believe about this name. So they analyze the name of Jesus. A good man, a prophet, a teacher, a healer, a righteous man, a religious man, a miracle worker, a compassionate man, a wise and intelligent man, a good orator, human, inferior to God, died for what he believed in. That's one category where people will put the name of Jesus in. He's just a man. The Islam faith believed Jesus Christ was on this earth, and they believe he was a good man and a good prophet, but he was not the Son of God. Many other religions will put Jesus in that same category. He was human. He died for what he believed in. He was a religious man. He could speak and people would listen. He's so much more than that. People, when they analyze and assess his name, they try to avoid discussions with his name. You know, there's three categories. Let me step back. There's three categories of people when they analyze Christ's name. There's those people that say he's human, he's a good man, he's a teacher, he's a healer, and so forth. There's other people that say he was a political and religious rebel. He's a heretic. I just saw a commentary just last week that someone said he was a witch and a sorcerer. But then there's that third category that says, no, he's the Son of God. Amen. He's the Savior of the world. He's my Lord and my Savior. Mankind avoids discussion about the name of Jesus, especially if you're out talking to someone and you bring up the name of Jesus. You start talking about his deity, or you talk about his existence before the world began, or his virgin birth, or his death on the cross as the payment for mankind's sins, resurrection from the dead, ascension back to heaven, his imminent return, his seating of the right hand of the Father. He's the intercessor for our prayers to God. They'll shut you down quickly and say, oh, I don't have time to talk to you today. Or I've got something else I got to do. I just remembered they're going to avoid discussion of the name of Jesus if they don't know him as their Savior. Mankind is forced and faced with making a decision. Do you either accept or reject what the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ? You're faced with that decision. I was faced with that decision. I had to come to realization. Do I believe what the Bible says or do I not? Even in colleges and so-called Bible colleges, you're faced with that decision. Do you believe what the Bible says about Jesus or do you not? We have some colleges that say their Bible colleges do not agree and believe what the Bible says. And they're putting out preachers every day. When we're faced with either accepting or rejecting what the Bible teaches, there's conviction in the name of Jesus. There's conviction. Do you accept or you reject? They'll close their doors in your faces. They'll change the subject. They'll cut you off in mid-sentence. They'll make excuses while they have no time to speak to you anymore. The name of Jesus instills even hatred among some people groups. But then there's still other people groups that say it's a precious, holy name. And I pray you're in that group. Because it's not a common name anymore. It's a precious, holy, lovely name. A name that is adored by believers. I got a lot of scripture here and I'm just going to read them. I have them already written down. So if you want to take notes and look at them later, you know, for sake of time, I'm going to go through these. As a name adored by believers, it instills hope and peace. The name of Jesus instills hope and peace in the believers. In Psalm 33:22, it says, "Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." Psalm 71:5 says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." I love Jeremiah 17:7. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." Psalm 55:18, He hath delivered my soul in peace. Before we accepted Christ as our Savior, and if you're here today and you have not, you don't have peace. But when I accepted Christ, oh, what peace I got. What hope I had. I had something to hope into. I had something to hope on. I had the peace that passeth understanding. In Psalm 55, 18, He hath delivered my soul in peace. In Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Proverbs 16, 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And then Luke 1:79, as we look at how this lovely name instills hope and peace, in Luke 1:79 says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And then Romans 5:1, look with that with me, please. Romans 5:1. His name instills hope and peace. In Romans 5:1, the Word of God says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through His name that we can have that peace. Through that His name we can have that justification. Through His name we can have that faith, that peace. It's also a name that imparts power and strength. In our own strength and power we will fail. I know I will. In our own strength and power we will be weak. But with Christ as our helper, we have unlimited power and strength. So His name imparts power and strength. In Psalm 29:11, the Word of God says, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. In Psalm 18:32, it is God that girdeth me with strength. Oh, the strength of God maketh my way perfect. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? His name imparts power and strength. His name should inspire worship and service and praise. Not self-serving, not worshiping idols that are all about us these days, but serving and worshiping the one true God who is worthy of all praise, who is worthy of all service. Look with me in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. The name of Jesus. Acts 15, remember what's in a name. Acts 15, look with me in verse 25. Acts 15, 25. It seemeth good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men that have hazarded their lives for the... what is it? Name. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't understand what the saints of bygone years have gone through for the name of Jesus Christ. When those that are listed in the Fox's Book of Martyrs that Pastor read about a year ago, when we look at those men and women that have sacrificed their lives because they would not recant the name of Jesus Christ. It is a name of worship. It is a name of praise. It is a name that should instill service. Acts 21:13, we're just a few chapters over. Acts 21:13. It says, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul is willing to give his life for the name Why? Is it a common name to Paul? No. It's a precious, holy, sweet name to Paul. And he's willing to give his life for this name, for his Savior. And it says in Colossians 3:17, most of us know this by memory, Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Whatsoever you do in word or do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians 3:16, a command here to separate, says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after tradition which he received of us." A separation call, a call to separate from those that walk disorderly. But we do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It should instill service, that name. It's also a name that introduces love and comfort. We did not know true love till we met the Savior. We didn't know what love meant until we met the Savior. His life, His example of love is the greatest example for us to understand love. John 3:23 says, "And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, on His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment." And 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." The name of Jesus. What's in a name? Oh, what the name of Jesus Christ means. Christ is His title. Jesus is His name, His earthly name, that God gave Him through Gabriel to Joseph and to Mary to call His name Jesus. Jehovah Salvation, Savior. He shall save His people from their sins. It's also a name that causes us to long after and to see one day. If you are saved today, if you've asked Jesus Christ in your heart, and you truly believe that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and He has cleansed you from all sin, you long to see Him one day. 1 Corinthians 1:7 says, "So that you come behind in no guilt, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to see Him. I want to see Him face to face. How unworthy I am to see Him, but I want to see Him. Revelation 22:20 gives us the last prayer in the Bible. It's the last verse in the Bible and the last prayer in the Bible. In Revelation 22:20, and it says, "And He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly." Amen. "Even so come, Lord Jesus." John lifts up the last prayer of the Bible. "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Jesus is a name anointed by God. I must hasten. It's a name which is above every name. In Psalm 8:1, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens." In Psalms 148:13, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent." In Philippians 2:9, "Wherefore God also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name." It is a name that we will all one day bow and worship. Amen. Right. Not just Christians, but every person that has ever lived and ever will live, one day will all bow down to Him. Because it tells us in Philippians 2:10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Turn with me quickly to Ephesians 1. We'll close here shortly. Ephesians chapter 1, I must show you these verses. Ephesians 1 verse 15, the Word of God says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints," verse 20, "which He wrought in Christ," we understand He's talking about Jesus Christ, "which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might, far above dominions, far above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over things, all things to the church. He has a name that is above every name. Why does God say consistently, as 3, 6, 7 times in the gospel records, he says, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him"? Because his name is exalted by God. There is a name. There's just something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's just something about that name. Oh, the name of Jesus. We're going to study his titles that the scriptures record about him. And how through this quarter, I pray it draws us closer to the love of Christ and what he has done for us and what his ministry meant. So that when we see these titles, as we read our scriptures daily, and we see the rose of Sharon, and we see the lily of the valley, and we see the bright and morning star, we understand this is talking about Jesus and this aspect of his ministry or this characteristic of his life. The name of Jesus. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Help us through this study to truly understand what you have done for us and what you're doing for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.